Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 online, tsn1050.ca. Your home smart speaker and up on TSN 4. Brian Hazy, O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. It is a Maple Leaf game night tonight. You can hear it right here on TSN Radio. Leafs Habs down at Scotiabank. Ray Ferraro will join us in about 5 minutes. Ray is in Ottawa. He was in Tampa this morning. Couple of flights, but he's there, and he's prepared to call the game tomorrow night because the Leafs are going back-to-back. Right, you got Montreal tonight at home, then at Ottawa tomorrow, and then at home to Ottawa on Saturday. So this will feel somewhat nostalgic, right? This is the old Canadian bubble to start the season.
What about these teams in preseason? Like, give me some Pittsburgh Penguin or something, New York Rangers. Like, I don't know why. Is there something I'm missing about that preseason? Why it was just the two teams?
COVID. But they play the Rangers on Monday. Here.
That's right. Yeah, the Rangers are coming up here. We finally got some new blood, right? Like,
right.
I've never been more excited to see Minnesota.
Dude,
I want to see
too.
Kaprizov play here.
Yeah,
me
exactly.
Too. All of it.
You know?
I'd like to see that kid. Like, the, I mean, not kid. He's 35 years old, but he's
Makarov.
Well, yeah. I mean, what, he won the Rookie of the Year at 24, right?
Right.
Like that's. I mean, he's a hell of a player. Don't get me wrong. I'm pumped to see him because he's got some flash to
his
game.
Jam.
Dude, you
want to
talk about a guy that played it perfectly as far as time? Like, I don't know what the deal with is. I'm not Craig Button that knows his draft status, why he played in the KHL. But you want to talk about timing and like having your game plan on point.
Right.
I'll show up and dial in a shortened season, and then you're paying me 9 sheets after that.
I know.
Like, that's good work.
Yeah. I mean, he's a hell of a player, and they struck gold with him. Minnie might be a team that you can't sleep on. Like, Billy Guerin's done some work there. Like, think about where we thought they were about a year ago. Like, this guy had the balls to flush out
Parise and Suter.
What are they going to do, though, in a couple years when that money, like, I don't understand how that's going to work. I really don't.
I don't either. The only thing I can think of is that he's been tipped off that the cap's going to skyrocket in a couple of years.
Yeah, like, we're talking $14 million, I believe.
Yeah, it's way up there in terms of the buyouts and the dead weight for both those guys. And
yeah,
they've been a sneaky good team. Like, sneaky good for a couple of years. Like, they've managed to put playoff performances together and, you know, punch their tickets, and they haven't done damage in the playoffs, but they've been lurking.
Yeah.
And Kaprizov, you're right. I mean, that's almost the Fernando Tatis Jr. play. Like, Tatis shows up. He had played 150 games in the majors, and he gets $340 million. And Kaprizov plays 56 and is like, well, it's time to negotiate now. Like, I'll give you 5 years at $9 million. And they're like, all right, I guess we'll take it.
Well, and didn't they floated it out there that he got some crazy, you know, $10 million deal in the K and
back
he was staying
K.
type of thing. And like that was the playbook for a lot of Russian players back in the day. It's like, I'll just go back to the K.
Which my response, I don't care, the player would be, go ahead. You're not.
Well, it doesn't happen, right? Like, outside of Kovalchuk and Radulov, name me another example of a high-end guy that went back. Like, in their primes. Like, it never
happened. Only guy that I could think of was Jágr. Jágr went there, but it was near the end, but then he ended up coming back. And Jágr played, what, 4 or 6 years there? Like, think of what his stats would have been had he, you know, played the rest of the NHL.
So I don't think he was there for that long, but it was a couple of years for sure.
Oh,
and,
okay.
Yeah, Jágr, I mean, Jágr is I guess I was thinking more Russian players.
No, but him you're –
check
right.
But yeah, you're I mean, he did leave when clearly he still had some game, but like, Kaprizov's a guy obviously will be on the Russian national team. Like, you the Russians they always have high-end talent, but like, if Malkin's back and healthy, you're gonna have Ovi, Kaprizov, Kucherov, Panarin. If Malkin's Vasilevsky and Net, like, they are gonna have a great goalie and some great offensive talent.
Right.
It's a matter of whether or not they can put it together. But Leafs Habs tonight, and we talked about this in the last hour. We'll ask Ray about this. Do you expect any animosity tonight? I don't expect, like, what I'm reading online, and I can't confirm it. I couldn't find if it was worded properly or improperly, or maybe Gerard Gallant was just saying they're available to play as opposed to actually starting.
I saw that too.
I thought I saw, like, Ryan Reeves, Jared Tenorti, they're all starting the game tonight. In other words, Reeves is going to go out and chase Wilson around.
Is that MSG?
They're fighting tonight. No, it's in Washington tonight. But, you know, that I'm that's animosity. Rangers and Caps, there's animosity.
Yeah.
Like, Ryan Reeves, he is going to challenge Wilson tonight. I don't know if Wilson will fight him, and I don't think he's going to chase him around the rink literally, but I'd be shocked if Reeves didn't have a word with him in warm-up and didn't approach him and visibly say, I'm dropping my gloves so the world can see it.
Yeah, that
like,
is
I'm expecting
gonna
be, that tonight.
Something is not going to be settled, but when you – I don't know what the hell he was doing in the penalty box, but that was seriously a gong show. You had the best tweet, Hayes, when it was some guy walking out of a building exploding with the clown makeup on.
Yeah, the Joker.
Yeah, the Joker. It was just like, this guy destroyed MSG last year, and they're going to have something to say about it.
Well, I think they acquired Ryan Reeves specifically for something to say tonight,
yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
Beyond.
I'm shocked that he's playing, considering how ugly that injury looked the other day when he got tied up with Pique. I mean, you know, the fact that he's available, like, good on them. You're right. Like, the league is going to have to track it. And Reeves is a guy who, you know, he's a little in the gray area, but he's a pretty, you know, stand-up guy. He'll fight you, and that's it. But, I mean, I don't see Wilson backing down. Wilson's a guy who, you know, I think Reeves, not think, I know Reeves is probably the tougher guy, but Wilson isn't a slouch. That's
no,
a heavyweight and heavyweight. You know, Wilson is an absolute monster. You know, the difference is Wilson will play on the first line later and Reeves will be farther down in the lineup.
This is a classic example of answering the bell, which was a term that was used for about 95 years in the league and in the sport.
Right.
And it doesn't exist, I think, in the same capacity anymore because of the way the game is played. But this
answer
is an answering
the bell.
Isn't that the best term? Answering
actually,
the bell.
But
that's what
right.
It is tonight for Wilson because he knows what happened. He knows the way the team reacted. And the bell will be presented to him tonight. Will he answer the bell? Will he be saved by the bell? I guess we'll find out.
Well, you pointed out the answer to the bell. Corey Perry and Nick Foligno in the playoffs. Like, that was what, the next shift after the Tavares injury?
That's right.
Foligno did it just because he wanted to, you know, get his teammates back focused on the game because it was such a gruesome thing.
He said he felt he had to. He was like, my captain just left in a stretcher. I had to do something. That was
right. I mean, but that's to your point, Brian. Like, that's either – and Perry knew it. Perry's like, all right, I got my gloves off here. I don't know if Wilson's just going to go, I'm going to go along with this because, you know. And the crazy part about this is – Buchnevich, remember they thought that the Rangers are the cleanest team in the world.
Oh, yeah.
The next night, Buchnevich cross-checked somebody in the face.
Yeah.
Wasn't it like
Mantha.
Lars?
No, it was Mantha.
That's
and Mantha
right.
got up and went out. Mantha will – talk about answering the bell. Mantha's tough, man. Mantha will have a comment for him tonight. I'll bet you Buchnevich won't do a thing.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with that game. And you know, as for the comparisons with the Leafs and Habs, it wasn't that type of series, right?
No.
There wasn't fights. There weren't line brawls. There wasn't a lot of chirping back and forth. It was a game of skill and really technique and defensive prowess by the Habs. You know, like, that's really what they did. After game four, they just said, you're not getting an inch on the ice.
Yeah, it was Carey Price, stifling defense, and no puck luck for Leafs, and that's game over.
That was it.
Quickly, game over.
Well,
right.
Timely goals, too. Timely goals for Montreal, really, because it, you know.
Two in overtime, and
like, Kotkaniemi scores after the shots were like 13-1. Like, that's, I don't know if you call that a timely goal, but I guess it's a goal that goes in, kind of a seeing eye redirect. And there was, I guess we could point out, two critical errors by the Leafs, you know, the Galchenyuk, and wasn't it Dermott on the other
Dermott,
one?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dermott was the one in game six that led to Kotkaniemi, and Galchenyuk was game five where it was.
The 2-on-0.
That led the other way to Caulfield, the Suzuki, and the rest is history. You know?
Yeah.
And really, that's the one highlight that I keep seeing. And a lot of it, I think, has to do with the timely fashion of the contract, right? Like, Suzuki just signed his deal, but watching SportsCenter the last 24 hours, that highlight has been played 45,000 times is Caulfield to Suzuki. Like, that was a clearly pivotal moment. Without that moment, maybe they lose that game, and obviously they're never getting to a cup final.
Yeah,
like, you talk about getting off the mat in a moment that got them off the mat. Galchenyuk's turnover that went the other way, you got to fly back to Montreal for game six, and the rest is history.
Yep.
So, Anyway.
That's true.
All right, Ray, we don't know what's going on with Ray. Ray will join us here at some point this hour, but it's not a good start.
He's in a great mood, too.
He's been flying all over the continent, and he's been moving times around, and I don't know. We're going to call him one more time. All right, we're going to call him one more time. I think he's in a car, which means the reception may not be great, but I think it's worth it, right? Like, he's our boy.
Absolutely.
We love Ray Ferraro. He was a staple on the show for 10 years. He will still be a big part of it moving forward. And I think it's fitting that we try to catch him on a day like this where you really don't know
this could be the shortest Ray Ferraro segment ever.
We don't know what we're going to get.
No.
Yeah, like Ray, he was back in the building calling a live game for the first time in a long time. And he has called live games for TSN, but with a packed barn, there was no plastic barrier, right? It was just him and Sean McDonough last night just doing their thing on ESPN, and that was really cool to see. And it was an awesome night to have hockey back. And here he is now. I believe he's in Ottawa, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Here's Ray Ferraro. You must be ecstatic that the Grappler was asking for updates 45,000 times today.
Yeah, that was I forgot how much I missed that. You know, like
when did it start?
Oh, when I woke up at 5:30, 5 o'clock in Tampa, and I would say by 6:15 I had my first reminder to check in, and I said, it looks like my flight's late. And then, I don't know, somewhere between 3 and 5 texts later, he's relentless, I'm telling you.
Why did you go to Chicago? You got to explain Chicago. Isn't it like just Tampa, Toronto, Toronto, Ottawa?
If there was a direct flight, yes. That was an unfortunate circumstance. So there's like less flights, right? And the first direct flight was later this afternoon, and I'm like, damn, man, I gotta get in to watch the game tonight. So 7:15 to Chicago, then Chicago to Toronto, and then Toronto to Ottawa, and I got late enough that I'm on the same flight as Gord, so he's gotten his rental car, now he's driving. It's just the way, you know, just the way it should be.
It worked out beautifully. There you go. It's perfect symmetry. And it was cool to see you in the building last night. What was it like calling a live game with 18,000 people going nuts? First time in a long time.
Well, it was weird to go in there and, like, you know, so we get over there and it's kind of early, but there was people already starting to line up because the you know, all the protocol to get people in the building, and there's 18,000 people there. They haven't had that in forever. And so, you know, it was ceremony night and everybody's trying to get in early. And it was really, they did an awesome job with the ceremony. And then it was like Tampa got outplayed from like the first minute. Like they looked like the, you know, whatever they had dreamt about, the banner raising and how fun that was going to be. John Cooper said, like, that, okay, that's the end of the chapter. It's now a new story. They didn't open the new chapter, right? Like, they just got run over last night. They were not very good. So it got quiet in a hurry. And then of course that's kind of odd too for the game. You're like, when Pittsburgh scored or Tampa scored to make it 3-1, that was the first time the building kind of sprung to life a little bit. So it was an odd night, but it was good. You know what was good, guys? It was like, it was just different enough that it keeps you sharp. Like, it kind of, you know, you're like, we do our games, and you know, I've been working with Gord for, you know, 12 years, and you know, we know where our layouts and come ins are and when the commercials are and all that stuff, and it was all a little different, and it was really fun.
Got your attention where he could throw something at you that you weren't expecting.
Yeah. Well, like, so, okay. So I had talked to Sean McDonough prior to yesterday's game. I bet you a grand total of an hour.
Wow.
Like, in my life. And so then the game starts and I don't know his cadence. I don't know, you know, I don't know. And so we're trying to figure it out as we go along, and I think it went pretty good, and he was, you know, he was apologetic. He's like, you know, gee, I haven't done games in a while. I thought he was, man, more than fine. He hasn't done hockey in 15 years. And yet, you know, does college football. He does the Red Sox. He's a busy guy. And, but we got through the first one, and we're in Chicago Tuesday, and I, you know how it goes. You start to build a little bit of what you were saying. Oh, like you build a little bit of know-how on what the other guy's going to do.
Well, as you said, you're in Ottawa, and you and Gord will have the call tomorrow night. The Leafs are going back-to-back with the Habs tonight in Ottawa, taking on the Sens tomorrow. That one can be seen on TSN 4. And we were discussing what to expect tonight and comparing it and contrasting it to the Rangers and Capitals game, where there are some rumors out there that Ryan Reeves may be in the starting lineup tonight, like puck drop. So you can only imagine what's coming or what could potentially be coming there. And we know the spark. We know what happened. We know the story of Wilson and Panarin and all, you know, the 24 hours of craziness at the Garden last year. Meanwhile, the Leafs and Habs played 7 games, much more important games, and I don't expect any animosity tonight. I couldn't even pinpoint one part of the script tonight or, you know, going forward with these two teams where I'd say that could lead to some friction. Can you picture anything?
No, I can't.
No.
The teams aren't really built that way. I mean, last night in our game, I don't think we had the first penalty call until the third period.
Yeah.
Like there were no penalties. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of what, it doesn't mean the game's not intense or fast or anything. It's just, it's not going to be what Washington Rangers is. Like that's pretty clearly going to be a unique spot. And I'm sure both teams have had the word, you know, from the league about, hey, let's pay attention to what we're doing here. But, I mean, if they didn't bring Ryan Reeves into New York to, you know, work on the power play. And so I would suspect if he's in the starting lineup, he's got his get-up-and-go boots on pretty quick.
Ray, we haven't talked to you in a while. What's your overall makeup of the Leafs going into this season? What's their vibe? What's your vibe on them? Just overall picture.
I like them better than last year.
Really?
I do. I'll start in goal. I'm unsure, like everybody else. Can Jack Campbell be a starter? Can Mrazek be 1B or 1A or however they're really going to do that? I mean, that's a question mark. But it's not like these guys have played 12 games. I mean, like they're NHL goalies. It's just how good can and will they be? Sandin's a better player than he was last year. I think he's I think he's kind of poised to have a pretty good year for them. Up front, I can't see that Richie and Bunting aren't going to score more than VC and Thornton. Like that's not going to happen. I think Matthews is going to get 50 goals. I think Nylander is going to get 30. I think Tavares is in the, you know, close to 40 goals. I think they're going to score a lot of goals. I think they're a good team. I really do. I guess I like the guys they brought in this year for immediate production more so where last year you had to just hope some of this stuff worked.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting point you bring up, Ray, in terms of even name recognition when it comes to the evaluation, right? Like Joe Thornton, everyone was excited because it was Joe Thornton, but that's not the guy from 10 years ago. It wasn't going to be. He couldn't keep up. Even Bogosian was a name, you know, top 5 pick, big, tough guy. He was your sixth defenseman.
They were, you know, father like, figures.
Exactly. Where, you know, Bunting, yeah, we don't know a lot about Michael Bunting, but do I think he'll perform as well as Joe Thornton? Yeah. Do I think he'll probably perform better? Yes. You know, Jimmy Vesey was a name that we knew because everyone was pursuing him and Hobie Baker and all that. Guy was on waivers 2 months into the season. That's not going to happen with Nick Ritchie. So when you do compare and contrast, it's a very valid point.
And I think I don't think there's a lot of flash and dash, no matter what the Leafs say to David Kampf, but I think he's a good player. Like, he's solid. He's a solid NHL player. If Andre Kasha can stay healthy, I think he's 15 goals. Like that guy was a very good player, emerging player, and then he got hurt, and he got hurt, and he got hurt, and of course you lose, and it just doesn't pop back for you. I also find, like, you know, they're all talking about, like, they have got a little more edge, and you grow a thicker layer of skin, I guess. You get kicked in the pants again. And so as much as all this other stuff is going to matter, those big guys have to be great. But that's the same as almost any other team. they're just fortunate that they're really good players are really good players. Like the four forwards are, I mean, those are fantastic players. They have to make a difference. So if Marner gets 20 and 60 or 70, something like that, and Matthews has 50 plus, which I think he's going to do, and 35 plus for Tavares and 30 for Nylander, all of a sudden you're putting some wins in the bank.
What do you think the team? Go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead. No, I was just going to say that's where I think their strength is that I think they're. It just feels to me, while like for some people it feels like, oh, this is, you know, same old group and the same old results. It feels, I don't know, it just feels different. I got a gut feel that it's a little different.
Mm-hmm. We were talking to Sheldon Keefe yesterday, and I asked him, I'm like, how difficult is it to go through the grind of 82 games? Like, what do you think the players are looking to accomplish other than put up those points and help the team win when you ultimately know that when it really matters is when you get to the springtime and they got to win around?
Well, I'm interested in how he would answer it, but you know, John Cooper said yesterday, I was talking to him, and he's like, look, every year you got to find a different motivation, like every year. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, he's like, 2 years ago, the season stopped and then we had to go in the bubble and that was the motivation. Last year it was the short year and then trying to repeat. He goes, that was a different motivation. This year, like, we lost our whole third line, and we've got to find a way to, just as you talked about the grind, like, grind your way through the season. Like, Tampa, it doesn't matter what Tampa does. They're either going to win a third time in a row or they're not. Like, it doesn't matter. If they get 100 points, nobody cares. Mm-hmm. They have to win it to be a successful year. Look, the Leafs could get 95 points or 105 points. And it really doesn't matter, because once they get into the playoffs, that's the only way they're going to be judged.
What do you think?
But they got to get there.
Yeah,
they got to get there.
Another team that's got to get there is the Edmonton Oilers. What do you think their goal? Like, it's going back and forth. McDavid's back with Draisaitl. Like, what is the goal there? Is it for them to get a zillion points each, or is it the best for them to get wins with those two together? How do you see that? Just the whole deal out there.
My view of that, with McDavid together with Draisaitl or not, is depending on who they're playing, that where they might need them apart or where they can put them together. So they're playing Vancouver. They probably think, I mean, I would guess they would think, look, Vancouver's defense is great. If we get them together, it's going to be really hard for Vancouver to shut those guys down. And if they get three goals, the two of them, their line, then we probably got a chance to win. And then that leaves Nugent Hopkins and Hyman on another line, and all of a sudden you're like, pretty decent balance for them. But maybe there's going to be some nights where they're like, you know what, we need them apart because the other team has a deeper roster or a better defense. We need to come at them from two different places. But, look, Edmonton is in, really, they're in no different spot than Toronto. But neither of them have had any success to speak about. They've got among the best players in the game, and they got to win in the playoffs. They got to get there. I think Edmonton will get there because their division not very strong, but they got to get there, and then they got to win around. Like, they're in the same thing. They've got to show some progress here, or else, you know, where you go. Eventually, you get to this point where it's really nice to have some of the best players, but you never win, and that's no good either.
With Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, we'll get you out of here on a question about a guy returning who's very familiar with winning three cups, couple of goals. Jonathan Toews returning tonight, Chicago, Colorado. I feel like this deserves so much more attention, and here I am with a show, and we haven't talked about it enough. So I know that's sounding hypocritical immediately, but I think it's going to be emotional to see him out there. Like, he's been such a staple of the NHL game and success, and, you know, original six team, the C on his jersey. What are you expecting from him, though, not only tonight, but kind of throughout the season, Jonathan Toews?
Well, I saw the first game he came back, he played like 19 or 20 minutes, and then he went down to 14, and it kind of feels like they're going to have to feel it out. Jonathan's going to have to feel it out as he goes along. Like, What is he able to do? Like, what's he able to handle? Can he play three games in 5 days? Or is he going to need a day off? Like, there's so much that you just don't understand. Like, does that year off make him, is it like a year where, man, aside from trying to get healthy through the, all, you know, the fatigue symptoms and stuff, is it, does that rest him? Does that give him a little more energy? Or does it put him way behind the eight ball and he's got to catch up again? Like, that, look, Chicago, if they get, they get a 70% Jonathan Toews back, they're way better. Like, just think of what that adds to their lineup, just for having him wander in the locker room. And then to get out on the ice, it's, you know, it's a huge deal for them. I mean, whether he's Jonathan Toews of Stanley Cup years or not, I mean, you can debate that and probably guess that he's not. But, man, he's still a really terrific player. It will be good to see him back.
I agree. We were debating before you came on to bring this to the forefront or not, but Hayes had a spicy hot take about Pittsburgh and figured he would put a quarter in you, but he didn't want your head to explode. But he thought, is there at any point that the Penguins will move past Sidney Crosby?
No, he said
Crosby?
They will move past them.
After that win last night, it's
after that
fine.
Win last night,
time to move on.
Fine.
Yeah, you put him on the trade track immediately.
Sid wasn't sure if he could play till he's 50, but he said he wants to play at least till he's 40. So that means no.
Okay.
You think they're
going to
move
that?
Yes. He said, I want to play till I'm... Yeah, he wants to play. Well, you know, he's in... You should see him skate. Like, the guy's a machine. I was watching him after practice when the Penguins got off.
Oh, he's a machine.
I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, he's... I don't know. What is he, 34 now?
Yeah.
Move past him, Hayes. What, are they going to trade him for Phil?
Yeah,
Ray, I don't know
exactly.
If you noticed,
Send
Ray,
there,
but the one thing I watching that guy in morning skates, like, he's got a rocket of a shot that you don't really think about it, but when you're there watching close, that guy can rifle it, man.
You know what I love when he shoots it? And Noodles, it must be, like, guys like that must be so hard to read, is his hands are way out in front of him.
Yeah.
Like, it seems like he doesn't have to generate, like, all this sweeping motion.
No.
Like, it's right out in front, and then bang, it's gone, and it's like... Man, yeah. It's just, it's so good. It was good to watch him skate. And then I would have thought there's no chance that Pittsburgh could play like that. And then they just owned the game last night. Like, they were awesome.
They look real good. Yeah, without Gino too, right? Gino's not coming back anytime soon. So.
Yeah, and no Gensel either. Gensel's right. Out in the COVID protocol. He's going to play Thursday. But then they go home for 8 games, and Sid will be back. You know, he's going to be back within... They said a handful of games, whatever that really means, but it won't be, you know, it's not a month, it's a week.
Yeah.
And then he's back, and Gensel's back. And
they look and like Pittsburgh again. No, they could, unless you move on from them, unless you take my advice and you trade them. Then, you know,
hey, I do have to say, you know, I didn't hear much from you guys, in particular Hayes, as my Red Sox worked their way through. Didn't hear anything.
They're lucky.
Yeah.
Oh, lucky. Are you kidding me? Of course they are. They're like a beer league team.
Yeah.
How did they win? I don't know, but they won again.
Well,
yeah.
Exactly. And somehow they'll beat Houston.
We're out of time here, and they suck.
Yeah, somehow they'll beat Houston.
No, we figured out yesterday it's Devers, the chew in his mouth. It's illegal.
Oh, look at the size of that.
It's crazy.
It would be exhausting to have that thing in your mouth like that.
Yeah. He's going to have a horn going out of his head when he's 50 years old.
Well,
he's good.
He's so good. He's so good. Yeah. No, I heard from you when the Jays were done in game 162. We were going back and forth then. It was all good. You'll hear from me again when the Sox lose. That's the next time you'll hear from me.
Tag me in on that, please.
We'll all come together on that, Ryan, for sure.
Okay.
All right, buddy.
Awesome. We'll talk soon, guys. Yep. Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, you too. There he is, Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst. Joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline, they take away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lean history, and accident history. Find out more at MapleToyota.com. Great to have Ray back calling games and Noodles. You'll be in Ottawa calling games tomorrow night.
Should be good.
Starting to feel normal. We've got Leafs Habs tonight, packed barn, hopefully down at Scotiabank. At a minimum, we're talking 16, 17 grand. Like, there might be some scattered seats, but it'll feel full tonight. Jerry's percentage is coming up. We haven't caught up with Jerry in a while. The season's off and running. I'm sure he'll be in a good mood. I can't see any other possibility,
Let's
but positive vibes from Jerry. We'll hear from him next.
You're going to want to hear this.
Jerry's percentages.
I don't love being commissioner as much as I used to. I actually love it even more.
That's the voice of a
Hall of Famer.
Are you kidding? Have you been out drinking?
Jerry, no, Jerry, haven't. You're all pigeons. Filthy, filthy pigeons.
It's Jerry. G-E-R-R-Y.
Here it is, Jerry's percentages. We've been waiting to hear from Jerry. I'm sure he was very excited last night. You know, Seattle, Vegas, and as we said yesterday, no McDavid. The NBA starts next Tuesday. Who's playing opening night? LeBron. Yeah, of course he would be. We'd much prefer seeing a new team with a bunch of players that, you know, got plucked from other squads.
When you actually track back and think about what would go into the meetings, it's shocking that it doesn't. Like, it's shocking McDavid's not in Los Angeles.
Yeah. Or Vegas or anywhere on earth that's on TV last
yes.
night. But moving on, Jerry, nice enough to find time. He's a busy guy. I think he's got a quick statement, and then we're just going to fire off some takes.
Let's
we
go.
All know the way this works.
Jerry's jacked because the NHL is back, and there's no time to waste, so let's get to the spiciest of takes. Jerry's going to treat you clowns like the Neanderthals that you are, and start nice and slow with an absolute layup. The Maple Leafs will finish the season with the most points for a Canadian team. You know Noodles will pick the Oilers. He always does.
I think he might pick the Jets, quite frankly. But
That's who I'm picking. I'm saying Leafs most points, Canadian teams, 40%. I think Winnipeg's going to have the most points, Canadian team. I'm done on Winnipeg after this year. Like
every year you think Winnipeg's going to break records and win the cup. But
sorry, like I just think that they could, but they never. I've been doing this for 6 years on the Jets.
No, they're a good team. They're a playoff team. I'm with you on that.
So I'm 40%.
Okay.
I'm 33% because I think it's, for me, it's Toronto, Winnipeg, and Edmonton. Edmonton plays in the Pacific, and I think Edmonton has got a really good team, just like the Leafs.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. I'm going to go a shade over 50%. I'm going to say 51%. I think, you know, the Leafs are built for the regular season. Look what they did a year ago. Look what they've done in years past. And, you know, the playoffs are a different story. We'll talk about that in 6 months. But I think, you know, barring health, which applies to all these teams, I think they're going to have a good year. You know, I think they're certainly a playoff team. I think they'll touch up over 100 points. And I think it'll be real close between these three teams. But I'll say 51%. I'll lean the Leafs.
Now chew on this one, you losers. Alex Ovechkin scores 45 or more goals this season.
Jerry is abrasive.
Spicy today.
Yeah, well, I don't know why he's in such a bad mood, but 45-plus for Ovechkin.
I'd like to see it.
I'm going to say 25%. I think this might be the year. I just going by the hair. The hair is looking gray.
The hair analysis?
Yeah.
Wow,
like, I'm just looking. I'm like, you're getting old, man. And it could be the first time. And I want to see him score 50 goals. And he could. But I think this could be the year he maybe slows down.
We need to coin a term like Corsi for hair analysis, right? Like based on hair graying out or whatever. Is it the OV? I don't know. But we got to put some thought into that.
Well, dude, I'm 45 years old. His hair is grayer than mine.
Yeah, it's been that way for a while. But this guy, he scores 45-plus every year. Like six of the last seven full seasons, he's had 45-plus.
I say it slows down this year. I understand what you're saying.
I'm going to go a little higher. What did you say? Oh, 25%?
Yeah.
I'm going to go 51%. Okay. I believe in him. I'm worried, though, that he's a little nicked up. Like, you know, he's a robot. And that hit he had the other day should have been like a knee injury, out for 4 to 6. And he's like game time questionable.
It's crazy.
Type of thing.
Yeah.
You know, he's just an animal. And I think he's a guy that, you know, a lot of free ice out there. Well, Backstrom being injured hurts.
That's what I'm thinking. And it's an Olympic year. You know he's going to be hyper-focused on that.
All right, 51.
Grappler says, by the way, expected grays will be the name.
Oh, I love
expected
it.
Expected grays. This is a spectacular term, coining that. I'm going to go lower on this as well. Backstrom is a big hit for him, right? Like, that's a big hit, especially on the power play. How many passes has he feathered across the slot? I mean, it's just – it's got to be hundreds at this point. I'll say 40%. I'm just leaning towards the minority on this, but, I mean, it's tough to doubt. He does it every single year. I'll say 40%.
Jerry's takes are twisting your small brains into pretzels, and I'm just getting started. One of Edmonton, Winnipeg, or Toronto will win their division.
Like, this isn't a riddle. They're just takes. I don't know how our brains are being twisted into pretzels, but a slight deviation on his original take. He's just got one of those teams that we just mentioned winning their respective divisions, whether the Pacific, the Central, or the Atlantic.
70% that happens.
Yeah, I think one of them can.
Yeah, one of them can. I think Edmonton can go on a heater and win the Pacific. I don't love the Pacific this year.
Mm-hmm. That's the one for Central. Me. They may not finish with the most points, but like it's them in Vegas, it kind of feels like, right, out there? I mean, Central, you're fighting with Colorado. That's going to be that's dicey for me. I think Colorado's
going to –
That
is dicey. They could destroy everyone for fun this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go 81%. I believe in one of the three.
Yeah.
I can't tell you who.
You get three lottery tickets. Yeah. You're getting three lottery tickets. And I think from that standpoint, I'm going to lean towards the majority as well. I mean, the Leafs, we're not accustomed to it because really they haven't historically been a team that loads up on regular season points and chases divisions. And they're up against it with Tampa and Boston and Florida. But I could see the Leafs in pursuit of that. I could certainly see Edmonton in the Pacific. And Winnipeg, I think Colorado will win it, but they might, you know, you're going to be close enough, I think, come February and March, where I'll lean towards the majority as well. I'll say 70%. 70% chance one of these three teams wins their respective division.
Snap out of that stupor you goons are in and tackle this take. Kirill the Thrill Kaprizov doubles down on his rookie season and finishes as a top 10 contender for the Hart Trophy. Jerry's nickname in college was Dollar Dollar Bill Jerry.
Jerry's Dollar Dollar Bill Jerry. I like that handle.
Did not know that information.
Mm-hmm. I mean, listen, you're making it rain at college. You're making it rain. That's going to get people are going to notice you.
Top 10 Hart?
Top 10 for the Hart. That's
15%.
Where Kaprizov will be at the end of the year.
He's real deal, but I think to take that leap.
Well, you'd
not
have
out of the question, but I just...
No, I don't think it is at all.
No, it's not out of the question, but the problem is Minnesota would have to have a... You know, he'd have to drag them to another stratosphere. And we just talked about
and he does have
Central.
That kind of hype noodles where if he is dialed in right off the hop, the chat will start. Like, he does have that name recognition already. I just don't see it second year, 15%.
But top 10. That not winning it, just... Top 10 in voting,
okay, I'll give
correct?
Him 25% that he gets
well,
into the top 10.
I'm not asking you to change your mind.
I'm just
what saying,
I'm saying, you talked
like,
me into it. 25% he gets in the top 10 combo.
Because we just talked about who we believed, you know, if Colorado is going to be an animal there. You know, we think that Winnipeg's going to be really good.
I'm not saying he's going to win it. Like,
no, but what I'm saying,
10th.
Top 10, right. Like,
yeah.
He would have to drag Minnesota to be up against those two teams, mm-hmm. in essence. And be chasing the league for goals, chasing Matthews or Pasternak or Ovi or whoever you believe is going to win the Rocket. So it's fair. I'm going to give him more than – I'm going to give 17%.
Yeah, I'm higher than that, man. I like this kid as a player.
He's a good
player. He's so good. And, you know, Minnesota I think will be in the mix. Like Colorado and Winnipeg are going to get a lot of the focus, clearly. I think we'll see what St. Louis brings. We'll see what Dallas can bring. But I think if you're in the mix for a playoff spot, that gets you the attention considering he's already become the face of that organization more or less, right? Like they're a team built on balance and depth, and yet he is kind of an outlier with the way he plays, kind of picking up on the Marion Gaborik role, you know, from back in your era. Noodles, where it was like Gaborik was a separate beast, and it feels like he's got that. And it's not about winning it. You know, ninth or tenth, could I see him in that spot? Yeah, I could. I'm actually somewhat bullish on that idea. I'm going to say 55%.
Wow.
55%. Listen, you can run off guys, McDavid, Drysdale, Matthews, McKinnon, you get to a certain amount, but then you're like, okay, You know, is Mark Scheifele a lock to get more recognition for that award than Kaprizov? I'm not convinced of that.
Right, right.
You know,
no, you're right.
Other guys in the league that are on good teams, Ryan O'Reilly, I'm not convinced of that. Like, if he puts up 85 points and 40 snipes and pushes them into a playoff spot, that's probably going to get enough to maybe sneak into a top 10. I think we got one more from Jerry.
There's really no other way to put this. This show is the Buffalo Sabres of sports content. And with that in mind, close your eyes and inhale this take from Jerry. At least one team in the NHL will finish the season with less than 55 points. Jerry would love to see it.
I don't think you would, Jerry.
No, that's a dumpster fire. Close your eyes and inhale this take.
He is a jackass today, and I don't know what he was reading, to be quite honest with you.
I don't get that. But, like, 55 or less, that is a dumpster fire. But it has happened in past seasons, right? We've seen it.
Dude, 100% it's happening.
Colorado had 47 that one year, and it wasn't long ago that they turned it around very quickly, right?
Yep. Buffalo or Detroit? Who else?
Arizona.
Arizona.
I'm sorry. I get flustered by how bad these teams are going to be, but someone's doing it. Someone's getting 45 points this year.
Disgusting. I just think it's going to be a long year. I think there'll be stretches where teams get tired and stuff. Like, it's going to be, you know, stretched out 3 weeks of an Olympic break. Like, there's condensed games. I think the teams are going to be low. I think they're going to get points.
I think you might see multiple teams this low. I mean, you're right, Noodles, but what does an awful team look like tired? Like, you're right. A very good team tired, that's going to be a trouble. What
Arizona
if you're a horrendous?
Arizona on the back end of an eight-game road trip out east.
It's going to be a disaster. I'm going to say 100%. I rarely ever do that. I'm saying 100%.
Wow.
I think Buffalo and Arizona are so horrendous that they – each could end up with 51 points, 52 points, and that might be bold. Like, that Buffalo team in the McDavid draft year, I think they finished with 52, I want to say. How is this team better than that team? How are they?
No.
I don't know how they're better. And Arizona, they're actively trying to be the worst team in league history, or it feels that way.
They traded away every good player they had this offseason. Not everyone. They have some left over.
I don't know.
Lower on this. I'm going to go 28%. But I see what you mean. I respect it.
Well, thank you, Noodles. That's all.
No, I do. You make a great point. Like, when Buffalo was struggling and these teams were rebuilding, they were kind of in that low 50s.
Yep.
You know?
That's where they landed. There it is, Jerry. I think Jerry's after dark. I think we might have to catch up from Jerry in about an hour. Steve Phillips still to come. Mark Masters from the Rink. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, so we're giving away a pair of tickets. We announced this in the last hour, and it's for a game on October 22nd, Friday, October 22nd, down at Scotiabank. The Leafs playing San Jose. So your first time seeing San Jose in Toronto in a couple of years. And we gave away one clue in terms of the name this Leaf operation that we're chasing down right now. And that was a clue in the 4 p.m. hour. And now our second clue is this. This former Maple Leaf goaltender played with the Blues and Oilers prior to signing in Toronto.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think we know which one this one is. The former Maple Leaf goalie played with the Blues and Oilers prior to signing in Toronto. So we will give you a cue to call in the next hour. When we do that, you call in, you name this Leaf, you're going to see the Leafs take on the Sharks later in the season. Well, I guess next week. Yeah, we're moving along rapidly here. Like, before, it's just crazy. Like, NHL season's here. Starts last night. The Leafs are going tonight. They play tomorrow. Before you know it, we'll wake up Sunday. They've already played three games.
And, you know, it's three familiar games. That's what kind of, like, I get it, but I can't wait for Monday. Like, I want to see the Rangers play. I want to see how they stack up against other teams that we paid attention to last year, but not as closely, because in our backyard, we got a healthy dose of basically seven teams. That was it. You know, it felt like a seven-team league for a long time last year. And then preseason, you're like, oh, they play Montreal. They play Ottawa. I'm like, we saw them 10 times last year. Montreal, another seven on top of that. 17, like how many times did they play Montreal total last year? Was it 9 or 10 in the regular and then another 7 in the playoffs?
And then preseason and tonight, you're right. You're talking
20 times in the last
20, 21 times
6 months.
In 6 months about that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's and I guess 9 months, 10 months now because it's January. Yeah. But so it's an outrageous amount of times. It's a baseball schedule. You know, it's like the Jays play the Yankees 18 times a year or the Sox, you know, and that's basically what it's been. And yet they all matter and they all count starting tonight and tomorrow in Ottawa and Saturday at home against Ottawa. And again, big match, match day down at BMO with Panama in town playing Canada. And this is a pursuit of the World Cup and they still haven't lost a game. You know, the Canadian side, they've drawn 4 times. They're 1-4, you know, but they need to find a way to hunt down those 3 points. But they're in the hunt for that top three seed, you know, the top three spots to punch a ticket to the World Cup. So there's going to be a lot of action, a lot of activity downtown tonight. 30,000 at BMO, 18 grand at Scotiabank. It's going to be awesome down there. So we'll continue to look ahead to both, catch up with Steve Phillips, get into some of the baseball scene with him, Mark Masters, Jerry's After Dark. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.